Romans chapter 1 in your Bibles this morning. Romans chapter number 1. I'm going to preach on something this morning, and maybe it'll be some preventative preaching for some of you. For some of you, it might hit right close to home. And maybe others are wallowing in it. And if you are, pray that you either get right or get out. Romans chapter 1, verse number 24. The Bible says, wherefore God also gave them up. You know you're in trouble when God gives up on you. And somebody said, well, I don't believe God gives up on anybody. Well, you never read the Bible. The Bible says God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. And what did he do? To dishonor their own bodies, how? Between themselves. You can tell when God gives up on somebody, and one of the ways you can tell it is if through the lust of their own heart, they begin to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. It's one of the earmarks or the birthmarks of somebody that God gave up on. Verse 26 says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men. That's sick. That is exceeding sinful. Men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. The book of Romans, literally, if you read the whole thing and you look at it from a broad viewpoint, if you look at it, the book of Romans is good news. But before you can really appreciate the good news that the book of Romans gives to us and declares to us, you have to hear the bad news first. I've said it before, and I'll say it again because I like the statement. But it has always been the bad news that makes the good news good. There is no good news without bad news. So Paul at the beginning chapters in the book of Romans is showing us sin. And he shows us sin before he ever shows us salvation, and then sanctification, and then service. And this nation needs to hear the book of Romans. America and the world needs the book of Romans preached. I'm thankful for the message that the book of Romans gives to us. And one of the reasons that America needs to hear the entire message of the book of Romans is because most Americans that I meet are peacocks strutting their way to hell. They're egomaniacs. They're peacocks strutting their way to hell thinking that they are too good to be damned. That's where they're at. That's the country that we live in. You know what I've learned in preaching? I've learned a few things, but one of the things I've learned is that when you preach to people, you have to preach, in order for people to get saved, you have to first, you got to get them lost before you can ever get them saved. So that's why Paul begins in the early chapters with the bad news. Chapter 1, he deals with sin. Chapter 2, he deals with sin. Chapter 3, he says, for all have sinned. Thank God, amen, for the good news that comes. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, chapters 1, 2, and 3, Christ died for us. That is the good news. Paul deals here with the subject of what I would call immorality. If you went a little more descriptive, you could say sexual immorality or the sin of infidelity. And it is the last step on the way down. It is the sin that will bring the church down. I was reading Proverbs chapter 7 just a moment ago. And I was reminded once again that God calls this thing the way to hell. Look at it. Look at Proverbs chapter number 7. There's no better illustration book than the Bible. Because you know the Bible's telling the truth. Not all illustrations you hear are the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you, God. But the Bible is true. Proverbs chapter 7, verse number, let's look at verse 9. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. That's why men like to sin at night. When the sun goes down, the sin ramps up. Men love darkness rather than light because they're what? Their deeds are evil. Amen. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. You ladies know what that is, and so do you men. We could preach there this morning, but evidently there's a certain type of dress that a woman can wear that is what the Bible calls the attire of a harlot. And subtle of heart, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love into the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. How could she do this? Well, the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey and had taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. In the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Why, he's now, amen, in a lustful rage, not thinking. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. As a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. You better listen, young men. Amen. Go not astray in her paths. Look at this. For she hath cast down many wounded. You say, I'm strong, Brother Brian. I got this. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going downward to the chambers of death. You see, when a nation loses its ability to discern between the basic sexual morality, God says, that's the last step. I give up. In America this morning, the church this morning, and the home, I believe this morning is in a crisis. And unless this morning we have a moral rebirth, unless God intervenes and does something supernatural, we are going to join the graveyard of the nations. You study history, number one on the list of things that made the Roman Empire come crashing down was the sin of sexual immorality. It was the sin of fornication. It was the sin of adultery. It was the sin of pornography. It was the sin of bestiality. Amen. It was the sin, my friend, that is running rampant in our country today. You study Rome. Rome dug her grave with her teeth. She killed herself with illicit sex. And she embalmed herself with alcohol. And America is doing the same thing this morning. There was a wicked man that made a statement on the news when someone was interviewing him about this thing of adultery, the sin of fornication. He said this. This is what the wicked are saying. If the adulterer takes all reasonable steps to be discreet, if he performs all other duties as a parent and a spouse and a citizen, and his mate chooses to hang on, then nothing happened. The new virtue in America is tolerance. My friend, the new sin is to call sin, sin. When you start calling sin, sin, that's the new sin today. Nobody wants to hear it. We've gone from X-rated films to X-rated cartoons to X-rated news, my friend. And now we have X-rated church services around our country. Just because everybody's doing it, don't make it right. Just because they're forcing it down your throat in Hollywood and at the public school doesn't make it right. Amen. It doesn't make it right in the sight of God. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 18 says, neither shalt thou commit adultery. God said still, don't do it. That has not changed. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 29, so that he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. And I'm concerned this morning about the world that my children and my grandchildren are having to grow up in. Well, I can't imagine how bad it'll be in 20 years if the Lord tarries his coming. We don't break God's commandments today. I'll tell you what we are. We are broken upon them. We're in a mess this morning. In verse 29 of chapter 1 of the book of Romans, the first thing he mentioned is the sin of fornication. That's the sin against the flesh. That's the sin against the body. Under the umbrella of fornication, you can tag on the sin of sodomy. You can tag on the sin of premarital and postmarital infidelity. You can tag on bestiality. And for you men in here, you can tag on the sin of pornography. If we knew how much pornography was going on in our churches, amen, I tell you, it would change our opinion of some of the people we fellowship with. Preacher Dan preached on it years ago, right here at this church, and it was a prophetic message. If you go back and listen to it, it was prophetic from an old prophet of God named Preacher Dan Metters. You ought to go back and listen to it on goodpreaching.com when he preached on pornography. We've been told by Hillary that it takes a village to make a child. No, I tell you what it takes to make a child. It takes a home to make a child. That's why the home this morning is under attack. Just look around. Look down every aisle and through every pew. Just look around and you'll see how much the home is under attack. And it's not popular, my friend, but it still needs to be preached on in the day and age in which we live in. Turn to Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter number 19. Verse number 5. The Lord said and said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." You see, the fundamental basis of all society is the home. You say, what is a home? It's a man and a woman. When they get married, they come together, and that, amen, constitutes a home. Under that, there's children. So it's God first, and then it's your spouse, and then it's your children, and then it's your job. It's not your job, and then your children, and then your spouse. Amen. And then God, whenever you can fit Him in there. You see, this morning, why is fornication and adultery, why is this sin such a horrible sin? Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians 6. I normally quote them to you, but I want you to turn to a few of them. 1 Corinthians 6. I'll tell you, number one, why this sin is such a horrible thing. You say, why are you preaching on it, Brother Brian? Because some of our young people need to hear that they don't have to go down this road. Why are you preaching on it? I'll tell you why, because I've seen too much of it. I've experienced it personally in my life. My parents, amen, my own children, I've witnessed your children, I've witnessed the suffering. Why are you preaching on it, Brother Brian? Because it's happening right now in our church. Amen. It's happening right now. There's fornicators sitting in our midst right now. There's adulterers in our midst right now. There are people that are eat up with pornography in our midst right now. And they need to know how horrible it is. And as Brother Brad preached to our teenagers, amen, he preached on, hey, it's worse than you ever thought it would be. Just ask Aiken as he preached about that at camp. When he was leading his family outside the gates of the camp, as the people came out to the outside the gates and had rocks in their hand, as those stones began to crush the skulls of his children, and he thought to himself, hey, I'll just go in and take that treasure and I'll keep it for myself. It's not going to be a big deal. It's not going to hurt anybody. If it is, it's only going to hurt me. As the blood of his children and his wife and his animals and all that he owned began to splatter outside the gates of the city. Why is it such a bad thing? Number one, I want to say this. This sin of fornication, this sin of adultery, it's a sin against yourself. Look at verse number 18. Flee fornication. It's one of the only sins in the Bible that God never told you to fight. We're to fight the good fight of faith, but guess what? As Brother Danny pointed out last night, as our preacher pointed out, not only is it a sin against the flesh, but it's a sin, amen, that has a spirit, an unclean spirit attached to it. Flee fornication. He said, run from it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. There's no other sin that will do more damage physically. There's no other sin that will do more damage emotionally. There's no other sin that will do more damage psychologically and spiritually than this sin that I'm preaching on this morning. We hear today about in our public schools, and if our public schools will talk about it, I think I have the liberty to address it from the pulpit. They talk about, well, we're going to have a safe sex class. First of all, I want to say this, that sex is not supposed to be dangerous. It was God's idea.
Amen.
And the world and sin has perverted it, and it's crept into our churches, it's crept into our homes, it's crept into our pulpits, and we, my friend, are in trouble. To sin against yourself, you'll kill yourself. sexually transmitted diseases. It'll kill your home. It'll kill your joy. You probably have some preaching tonight on missions. But I'll say this. That sin will kill a missions program in a church. That sin creeps into a home. Amen. And that husband and wife that's working faithfully and dedicated to God and given to missions. Amen. Before you know it, that sin will blow that home apart. And the next thing you know, all the money has to go to divorce courts and lawyers and child support and alimony. And the missionaries never get supported again. It's a sin against yourself. Number two, it's a sin against the home. Look at Romans chapter number 2. Romans chapter 2, verse number 22. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? You see, the man who commits adultery, the woman who commits adultery, tells their child, your mother is not worth much. And your father is a liar and a cheat. Furthermore, child, honor is not nearly as important as my pleasure. In fact, my child, my own satisfaction is more important than you are, child. To sin against the home. Children need a mother and children need a father, and they need them to stay together. And the glue that keeps that home together is the, amen, is the glue of faithfulness one to another. Amen. It's a sin against the home. Number three, it is a sin against the church. If you're a member of the Shady Acres Baptist Church and you're living an impure life, you are sinning against the rest of us. 1 Corinthians 3, just a few pages back. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Look at it. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You read 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Paul talks about how that we are members one of another. When one member suffers, every member suffers. You know how I know that? Just get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom and kick the nightstand with your little toe, amen. It's not just your little toe that hurts. It's your whole body. That's the reason you did a dance around the room. It affected all of you. Adultery is a deadly affection in the body of Christ, in the church, and the church is the body of Christ. I beg you this morning, church, I beg you, amen, if there is immorality in your heart, if there's immorality in your life, if there's immorality in your home, if you're here this morning and you're wallowing in that sin, my friend, you need to get right with God. And if you're not going to get right with God, please do us a favor this morning and get out. Get out. Get right, yes, that's what we want. That's the desire of our heart. That's what we preach. But if you're not going to get right, stop coming to this church. Don't come. Yeah. Why? Because many strong men have been taken down by this sin. Yeah. Don't hurt the body of Christ. Please do us a favor and do not teach Sunday school. Don't get on this platform and sing a special. Don't sit on the platform, men. Don't preach from behind this pulpit if this is your lifestyle. We're here to help. We're here to heal. And we don't have to be perfect. I'm not saying you have to be perfect to come. I've said this before, but you know, if you think about it, the church is the only institution in society that you have to profess to be bad before you can actually join. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I mean, when you come to Christ, you have to say, I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. I cannot save myself. Amen. That's the only way you can get in. I'm not saying be perfect. But I'm saying if you know the truth and God has revealed the truth to you, I'm not even talking to lost people. I'm talking to saved people this morning. Amen. That need somebody to preach to them this morning. I'm just saying get right with God and stop being a repeat offender. Amen. Got too many repeat offenders. Don't come down here and cry and squall and act like you got right with God, amen, when in a week you're going to be right back in the same mess that you just repented of. We're not about that around here. Am I all right this morning?
Amen.
Number four, this sin not only is a sin against the church, it's a sin against the nation. Our nation's in a mess. And that when a man commits adultery or fornication, it is an act of treason in my eyes. In the Old Testament, adultery was a crime worthy of death. Look at Deuteronomy 12. I'll show it to you. I'm not Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22. I don't ever want anybody to be comfortable living in sin under the sound of the preaching that comes from this pulpit. Amen. You ought to be so uncomfortable, you want to get out of here. Deuteronomy 22, verse number 22. If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, there's probably some people in here doing that. Amen. You think you're sneaking around? We know exactly what you're doing. Amen. Go lay with somebody else's wife, then come to church and act like everything's okay. It's not okay. You better be glad we're under the grace of God. Because the Bible says to an husband, then they shall both of them die. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. Why does he do this? So shalt thou put away evil from Israel. You know how to get the evil out? Just kill them. That's what God said. I'm not saying let's do that now. But that's why, amen, every now and then, listen, if you're not going to get right with God, then do us a favor and get out. So we can put away the evil so God can smile on us. It's foolish to say that character and leadership are not synonymous. These Democrats, these talking heads today, would like to make you think that these two things don't go together, that leadership and character, but they go together. No man is fit for leadership who is sexually impure. What Bill Clinton did was wrong and he should have been impeached. Ronald Reagan wouldn't even take off his coat in the Oval Office. You got two presidents after him who's taken off his britches. God have mercy on America. Amen. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When you say that character doesn't count, that ability is the only thing that counts, you are saying the blessings of God don't even count. The blessings of God don't matter. It would be like you going to have a brain surgery, or like Brother Tim had a heart surgery, and that surgeon comes in there and he's got crusty fingers, he's got dirt under his fingernails, he's got, amen, things dried in oil from his car because he was changing his oil, he's got just nasty, dirty hands, and he goes in there and he doesn't even have the common courtesy to scrub his hands before he goes in to do a surgery. It's abomination to kings to commit wickedness. Proverbs 16 verse 12. For the throne is established by righteousness. Leadership is stewardship according to Romans chapter 13. The Bible says that that leadership is the minister of God. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 28, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. Abraham Lincoln made this statement, I like it. He said this, you can fool some of the people all the time. You can fool all the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. And I'll add to Abraham Lincoln's quote, you cannot fool God any of the time. When you look at Proverbs 31, verse number 3, amen, he said, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. I'd say there's some strong men involved there. Immorality, fornication, adultery, pornography, it's the sin that destroyed Greece. It's the sin that destroyed Rome. It's the sin that destroyed Egypt and Babylon. And it will be of the American Empire as well. Josiah Holland said this in 1819. He said, God, give us men. A time like this demands strong minds, great hearts, true faith, and ready hands. God, give us men who lust, whom the lust of office does not kill, men whom the spoils of office cannot buy, men who possess opinions and a will, men who have honor, men who will not lie, who can stand against a demagogue and damn his treacherous flatteries without winking. Tall men, God. Sun-crowned men, men who live above the fog in public and in duty and in private thinking. For while they rabble with their thumb-worn creeds, their large professions and their little deeds, mingle in selfish strife below freedom weeps, wrong rules the land, and waiting justice sleeps. And I want to say lastly, and then I'm done. The sin of immorality, adultery, fornication, pornography, it's a sin against God. You say, God said, thou shalt not. In Exodus chapter 20, verse number 14, when David committed that sin with Bathsheba, you can read about him in Psalm 51 as he's repenting, pouring out his heart. David said in Psalm 51, verse 4, against thee, thee only have I sinned. You see, God is a holy God. The Bible does say marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You see, law without penalty is only advice. God's not giving advice. He's not giving you advice this morning. He's giving you His laws. And His laws are holy. And His laws are true. And His laws are right. And no matter what the world around us does, no matter what the church as a whole does, the Bible says every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You see, Romans 2, verse 5, this is the reason they don't believe God is going to judge this sin. You go back to our text in Romans chapter 2. Live in a world where people think that God doesn't judge sin, but He does judge sin. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man, look at this, according to his deeds. I'd say this morning it's a pretty serious thing. The reality and the fact that we're all going to stand before God, So I say this morning, don't sacrifice the eternal on the altar of a little bit of immediate pleasure in your life. You think about it. If you just stop and think about it, it really is a stupid sin. Because just for a moment of pleasure, and there is pleasure involved, that's why people do it. But for just a moment of pleasure, there's so much that is destroyed and damned as a result. Homes, churches, kings, kingdoms, nations. And by the way, you never get over it. That's the one sin the Bible says shall not be wiped away. You read the book of Proverbs. What's the one thing that you think about when you think of David? Maybe David and Goliath. Maybe a man after God's own heart. But I'd say before long, it's not too long into your thought process that you think about David and Bathsheba. You see, for all eternity, until the Lord comes back, He'll be using as example because it never goes away. But there's hope this morning. You can get right. You know, one of the things I love about David is he wasn't a repeat offender. He was a good repenter, and he was not a repeat offender. He got right with God, and it cost him. And I wish that we could bring David up here on the platform and just me step aside and say, David, here's the microphone. Testify for about 5 minutes on how much the sin with Bathsheba cost you. Absalom! Absalom! Oh, Absalom! Oh, listen, I could hear David's voice as he begins to weep, as he begins to cry and to tell you about his children, about his baby dying, about his own son, Solomon. Even after the instruction that he received, I'm just saying, you have got to make the right decision this morning, and your decision that you make will determine your destiny in life, and it will determine your destiny in eternity. We need not only make a decision, we need to put our total dependence upon God. And then we need to get some devotion down in our heart and some discipline and just determine that by the grace of God that we're going to stay close and clean. You ought to make those two words the theme that you write upon your heart. God, keep me close and keep me clean. God, keep me close and keep me clean. For my children's sake. For my marriage's sake. For the sake of the church. And for the sake of the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ to go into all the world to tell a hell-bound world that's lost within their sin that Jesus saves. I wonder how many have gone to hell because somebody did not heed the message to stay close and clean. So the invitation is this morning. If you're clean, you ought to come and find a place at an altar and say, God, help me to stay clean. Keep me close and keep me clean. If you're not clean, I got good news. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Get right, get up, and go on for God. Children, don't be bitter. Don't hold it against God. We live in a broken, sin-cursed, fractured world. And some of you young people had to go through things that young people should never have to go through. And there are hurts that are so deep, amen, I can't even describe to you in human vocabulary, but I understand it. I understand it. If your parents get right, if your dad gets right, your mom gets right, amen, what God calls clean, let no man call unclean. Just, amen. As Paul said, forget it. Press on. Let's all stand. And if you're here, you're not saved. Jesus can save the vilest of sinners. Our Father, I pray this morning that you'd help somebody. Lord, may it be a preventative truth that was preached this morning that might keep somebody from walking off into the sin of immorality. Lord, help those that are living in it, God, to get right or get out of this thing. Lord, so they don't destroy somebody that's trying to do right. And Lord, if there's one here lost, save them this morning before it's eternally too late. God, thank you for being good to us and watching over us. May we be sober, be vigilant in the fight that you put us in. Father, bless this church. Keep us all close. Keep us all clean. And God, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Gary?
Hymn number 270 in your soul starting.
Hymn 270 this morning. If you need to pray, these altars are open. There's always a spot with the Lord.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Why don't you come? Oh, Lord, don't let it just be a song. Let it be a reality. How do you come? Just as you are. God, keep me close. God, keep me clean.